Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. Thank you to all of our listeners. We really appreciate your support. And if you have any feedback or questions or suggestions, you can email us at info@thedefidaily.com or check us out on Twitter at @TheDeFiDaily. We post show updates and also link out to the articles we reference on our Twitter account, so make sure to check us out. You can also visit our website at www.thedefidaily.com. As always, thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a DeFi investment and digital asset management platform. They do allocation monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out on Twitter at Bitwave Platform or online at bitwave.io. Okay, so everyone, we're at it again.
We's at it again.
First there was Yam, and now it's Spaghetti Money, whose token symbol is Pasta, by the way, P-A-S-T-A, Pasta, which I think is funny. So DeFi project Spaghetti Money launched and already has over 200 million staked in its pools in just a matter of hours. So some numbers on Pasta, big swings today. The 24-hour low was 64 cents. The high was $4.27. And I just checked before recording this, and it's currently trading at $2.64. So Pat, talk to us about Pasta.
It's the attack of the meme coins. It all started with Dogecoin back in the day. What was that, like 10 years ago, something like that? And now we're on to Pasta, Yams. I'm hoping next is going to be Zoodles or maybe some other variation of that. Essentially Spaghetti was a, I don't know if it's fair to say direct fork of Yam, but it was pretty close. It looks like it was a relatively close fork of Yam. I mean, the one nice thing is, you know, the thing I like about this is I love experimentation. Like, I come from a world with startups and different things where doing experiments like this is great. This is not a traditional part of finance. Like, you don't see JP Morgan having $200 million thrown at an experiment overnight. Now, there's good reasons for that, but you don't see it. So from a high level of like, hey, is the world moving in a better, more hypothesis-driven, more experimentation kind of way? Absolutely. I think that's spectacular. Now, one thing I will say is the Compound, one of the CEO of Compound came out looking at Yam, looking at Spaghetti, and made the comment that he wants to see more regulation or at least self-regulation of the industry. I think that that is a bold statement from the CEO of Compound. I think that that is perhaps not the right direction, because the more regulation, the more we're doing that, the more you are limiting these experiments, and we are changing the nature of this. Do I think Spaghetti is worth $2? No, I don't think Spaghetti is worth $2. $Pasta. Any more than I think Urine is worth $300. At the end of the day, governance tokens don't have a lot of value. They are not utility tokens. They're giving you essentially rights that are on voting on the actual underlying contracts and some of the rules around it. But really, there is no intrinsic value to these governance tokens. So it is very silly how much they explode in price. It's purely speculative. But you know what? This is as fun as anything, so let's roll with it. You know, hashtag Pasta Money.
I think what DeFi and crypto investors are trying to figure out and come to grips with is what is real and what is a promising innovation and what just seems to be hype or, you know, being pushed too much by yield farming. What is crypto traders playing games with these experimental DeFi building blocks and tools? I heard a new term floating around today referring to some of these projects as money Legos. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a term that's been around for a long time, or at least the concept has been around for a really long time. It's just now being applied to DeFi. The cool part about DeFi is you have all these smart contracts that can call each other. So you can have a coin that will essentially be using a totally different liquidity pool. A smart contract uses a totally different liquidity pool to provide liquidity and uses a totally different oracle to base prices. I mean, this idea of an API ecosystem where contracts call contracts, or in the traditional enterprise world, where services from one company called services in another company, it's incredibly powerful. I mean, it's been the driving force for a good part of the 2010 tech value wave was based on API to API calls. So the idea of DeFi absolutely is incredibly dependent on these building blocks that you can plug things together. There's a really great example of that is Aave, which essentially, you know, if you look at something like a flash loan, A flash loan is a DeFi construct where it's a loan that lasts for exactly one transaction. So like literally you submit a transaction. As part of that transaction, you can borrow a large amount of money and use it within a context. Now, you might ask yourself, like, why does this ever matter? Like, you're not getting money. You can't then do anything with it. You only have the Ethereum available to yourself during this short window of time. Well, building on top of that, you can do all these really cool things, like actually liquidity, like quick liquidity providing and all these different mechanisms. So what might not seem like a particularly useful item in the abstract or for you to use immediately, once you can plug it in with a bunch of other stuff and you can have smart contracts calling smart contracts, it does become very valuable. So it is, it's the future, but hashtag pasta money.
Okay. All right, moving on. So Coinbase today ran an article that said the total value locked in DeFi may be overstated by $2.83 billion. As we discussed yesterday, the total USD value locked in DeFi protocols, we thought surpassed the $6 billion mark. That was according to on-chain data source DeFi Pulse. But now there are claims that that has been overestimated or overstated. Pat, what do you think?
Yeah. So this was based off a Twitter thread by a gentleman named Demir Bandalo. The high level thesis is that the way DeFi is working today tends to be highly leveraged. So when you're doing yield farming, the way you yield farm is I put some collateral in and I get some coins back. And then I take those coins and I put that in as collateral and get some coins back. And I do that five or six times. So the argument is that essentially you're miscounting the overall amount of funding within the ecosystem. So I don't know, let's call it a semantic or technicality driven argument. At the end of the day, if you go and look this up, people can't even agree on how much Ethereum has been minted over time, period. So we're having trouble deciding on how much Ethereum has been minted, which is based on an algorithm, let alone how we do measurements of this. This happens all the time. When you do, you know, China overinflates their GDP numbers versus how the US reports it. This is nothing new. I think where we'll eventually get is looking at the hard currencies that are locked in. So you look at the amount of Ethereum and Bitcoin, and you look at a couple of the baselines that are locked in and say, you know, for the Ethereum that's locked in for that, then you can make a good judgment on it. Either way, you should never trust this stuff beyond magnitudally. So everyone agrees. Demir himself also says that it's about three point something billion. You know, 3 billion, 6 billion, it doesn't really matter. Magnitudally, we're in the billions. Soon we'll be in the tens of billions. Someday we'll be in the hundreds of billions.
Yeah, it's still a lot of money.
Still a lot of money. Hashtag pasta money.
All right. So moving on, Filecoin, which is a pretty highly anticipated blockchain project, which promised decentralized storage. They had some legal disputes, some unhappy investors, some delayed plans. Pat, what is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, from the beginning of the ICO craze, so Filecoin, I'd say, is the company. If I pointed at one company that kicked off the ICO craze, it is Filecoin. They raised 200 and some odd million dollars in ICO after they had taken VC money. There is a fundamental issue with taking VC money and taking ICO money, because that is, you are never going to necessarily be aligned. Now, companies after that have done a better job aligning their early investors with token offerings later. So for instance, I know a number of companies that basically did SAFTs, which is that I'm going to take money from an investor and they are going to get a guarantee to get tokens from me if I ever ICO, if I ever release a security token. Filecoin, this was before that was even a thing. So they had this issue where they essentially both take investment money, which is, you know, essentially giving investors rights to the company, and usually quite a bit of rights. And they took a lot of investor money from big VCs. And then they separately did an ICO, but they made no guarantees of the ICO profits or the use of the ICO back to the investors. So you end up with a situation where they had $250 million worth of Filecoin in their company, and a lot more actually. They have a lot of Filecoin sitting around the company. And the allegation from the investors is that the CEO was sort of using that as his own piggy bank. It was, you can think of it as almost like a slush fund. So he was giving himself Filecoin, he was giving other early employees Filecoin, but there was no real governance over it. And then there was no mechanism for the investors to get those coins. This is all going to get worked out. There's enough money here that doesn't really matter. I think it's interesting the lawyers had to get involved, but obviously they did. Filecoin, I would say more than anything, Filecoin to me, until I see it launch, has the smell of vaporware. Like, they are a long, long running. They've been out there a long time and they haven't launched yet. That's super concerning.
All right, great. Then last, let's quickly wrap up with some numbers. So Bitcoin prices were down early today for the second straight day. When I checked earlier, it was 11,762. Of course, that is down after rising past 12K earlier in the week, setting a new 2020 high. Overall, it's down 2.2%. ETH is currently trading down as well, 4% down at $408. Maker, with a market cap of $655 million, is trading at $651, down 3.6% today. Chainlink still solid at $16.38. It was only down 1.6%. And Litecoin, the seventh largest cryptocurrency by market cap, was one of the biggest losers today, unfortunately, losing 7% and trading at $61.65.
Okay, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the DeFi Daily.